Session number 9105, reel 1.
Mrs. Gilbert, reel 1. Where were you brought up as a child, Mrs. Gilbert?
I was brought up at a place near East Grinstead in Sussex, a place called Holtye, H-O-L-T-Y-E. My husband used to say hold tight afterwards. He used to make everybody laugh. Then we moved to Ashdown Forest. And when I was about 4, I started school, to Ashdown Forest School. I remember going, it was like a gallery all round the class, and I remember the first lesson I did, that was fraying, piece of material about 4 inches square, and you had to pull all the threads apart. The first one that finished it won the prize. Well, at that cottage, it was right in the woods, really, we had the cottage, and we used to have the street organ round now and again. My mother used to get up and dance and pick us up for dancing. And I don't remember much more about that. I remember when I was in the pram, I remember an aunt pushing my pram. The prams were made of black wicker in those days, the four wheels, all the same size and black wicker. And she was taking me up a lane, and she stretched over to pick a piece of palm. And she scratched her arm. I always remember that, seeing the blood running. And I remember sitting on the edge of the table, having my boots being buttoned up. It was always boots in those days. And I must have been a little bit older. There were 5 of us children. My mother took us for a walk up a lane. Primroses were about. And she went up the bank to try to pick a big bunch. She came down, she was scared. She ran all up that lane. There was an adder around the plant. Because she was country bred and born too. And of course it frightened her.
What did your father do?
Hmm?
What did your father do?
My father was with horses on the farm. You see, all the southern part of England was all farming in those days. And women stopped at home. And girls went to service in the houses. Everybody who could afford a maid had one. Even little tiny houses. £5 a year they pay you for doing all your jobs for you. And then I went, I went to school at different places. We lived at Keston Green, if you know Keston in Kent. It's not far from Hayes. Well, we had a little school there. And only 2 classrooms, I think. And we had Florence Nightingale come to see us one day. A little old lady. She was only a little, all in black. And she spoke to everyone. Because Lord Derby's place was there, you see, at Knoll Park. And the first 2 Saturdays in October, the park was always opened. Little side gates in the park. But always open for people to pick up chestnuts. Chestnuts, and people came with prams and sacks and ponies and carts from all districts for miles around to pick chestnuts up and take them away. And little things like that. And at that school, we had the whole common for a playground. We never had a real playground. And there was cotton heather there. And the cotton round the heather was pink and white, and you could wind it round your fingers. My mother said, you'll never sit anywhere else. It was on Keston Common. And
How old were you when you left school?
I couldn't have been very old then. And they had a church there. And I remember the church one day, one morning, when we were going to church, because we used to go to morning service, it was full of... There was a platoon of soldiers all in red jackets, and they went in the church, and we couldn't get in. And they were singing Onward Christian Soldiers. It was wonderful to hear them, all these soldiers. we had a lot of experiences there on and off, you know, in the farming world. Saw them training the horses and everything. Used to see all that kind of thing. I saw a horse killed there, by the way. Polex, they used to do. And, then we moved. We moved to near Biggin Hill. That's a big airport place now, or it was during the war. And I remember coming up the hill, and the father told my oldest brother, when we got to the main road, to put your hand out to stop a tram or something. We'd never seen trams or anything, never seen a shop. We'd only seen a shop where it was a front room turned into a shop, that's all before. And he put his hand out and the tram stopped and we got on. I don't know where we went to. At any rate, I was next to the youngest one of five of them, you see. Well, then we lived at Upper Catrim. Upper Catrim, that was near the Guards Barracks, the Coldstream Guards Barracks. And her mother sold teas, because there was no shops for teas. She made a big flag with red letters on, and she used to get people for teas every holiday time. She used to come on the bicycles, and she used to make all the cakes and everything, because she was a good cook. And by the way, we used to have the old-fashioned toad in the hole on Sundays for dinner. You know what that is? A large piece of beef covered in suet pastry and boiled. It used to be in a pudding cloth in those days. And we used to have all the vegetables all round in the same water. And that used to be our Sunday dinner. It was beautiful. Because we had an open fireplace, a great big open fireplace. And the big saucepan had a handle each side, oval saucepan. It had to be hung on a chain in the chimney. You see, they never had ranges or anything then. And, well, stop.
How old were you when you left school?
I left school at 14, on the day. And I was out of service 2 weeks after. Then I heard my home was broken up. No home to go back to after that. So I stood on my own feet ever after. At any rate, I went to several schools because in the farming line, the men changed jobs at Michaelmas, you see, and you move. And one school I went to, every time you went into school, you had to say grace. And then it was Kings and Queens of England. William I, 1066, William II, 1087, Stephen, 1135, and right the way down to the present king. That was King Edward VII then. And at another school, they started to teach us deaf and dumb language. Another one, it was knitting for all the boys. You see, everything was different in those days. Of course, you never had... You see, you had the same teacher all through your class. You see, all through your schooling. And...
How did you get your job in service?
Well, my mother found me a job in service at Sanderstead. That wasn't far from Upper Catrim. And, I was had to do all sorts of jobs then because I was only 14. See, all the girls did that. And, of course, you never saw women in shops at all, serving in shops. It was all men and boys. It didn't matter what you asked for, it was all men and boys served you in shops. Oh, it's all changed since then. But
what work did you have to do?
We had to do housework, clean up the grate, light the fires, clean the fenders, and clean the boots, sweep the room. We used to sweep the room with dried tea leaves in those days. You see, they never had vacuum cleaners. And used to sweep them and lay the breakfast and all that kind of thing until evening. You were on the go all the time. Take the children out for walks and all that kind of thing. You were like a general maid, you see.
How much were you paid?
Oh, my first job was £5 a year. Well, then I left to better myself with. And I found a job as nursery maid to Lord and Lady Fisher's two daughters their children. One was a little baby of 60, about 6 weeks, and the other one was about 2.5 years old. Captain Blackett and Commander Fullerton's children they were. And I moved with them when they went from Richmond to Ham House, and Ham House wasn't so far away. Then I left, and then I took a job as nurse, well, nursery maid, really, to Cat's Eye Cunningham. He used to bring the planes down in the dark, you see, and he was well known as Cat's Eye Cunningham. Well, I went to his home, but his elder sister was the only one born then, and I took her straight from the nurse, and I had full charge of her all the time until she was about three. Used to take her out, and I was dressed as a nurse, used to travel everywhere with them in a car, because he was secretary to the Dunlop Company. He had a great big silver grey Austin car, and it was open then. They were open ones, never had roofs on them then. And I used to go to Coventry and all sorts of places with them. And I used to take the baby to big houses when they had at home days. And they used to take the baby and take it up the drawing room and used to hand it back. And I put it in the pram and bring it back again, you see. Sometimes 2 or 3 miles, you see. So I had an interesting time.
How did you hear about all these jobs? How did you apply for
them? I didn't mind at all. I was happy, you see. Mrs. Cunningham was like a mother to me. The old lady, she'd be gone now. Because it was only Mary then. Then I used to go and see them every week or so. She said, you're always welcome. And I saw the next one born, Janet. Oh, yes, Janet was the one born. And then it was John Cunningham, who was the air pilot. And then William. Now, he went in the army afterwards. And I had a lot of photographs of them for all ages, all ages. I lost them in search coming home from Australia. I'd give anything for those photographs back again. But at any rate, they've gone.
How long did you work for the Cunninghams for?
I was there 3 years, because I had to leave to better myself with, you see. Well, it was shortly after then, like I went to a nurse's home to help out there, because I was going to emigrate to Australia. To emigrate to Australia then was only £3, that's all. Farm workers and servants they wanted. And but 2 days before I went on the bus. I was going to see Crystal Palace, and the bus stopped outside of a terrace of houses, and on the gateway there was a big hand and a head, and it said on the hand, the lines on your hand will tell your future. So I got off the bus and went in. And she told me, you're going to have a great disappointment. A great disappointment. She told me everything that came true afterwards. Everything. And as I was coming out, I said, I'm going to Australia in 2 days' time. She said, you're not going. You're not going. And I had a telegram the next day to say my passage was cancelled. My mother had changed her mind because I was under 21. 21 was the age of consent then. And I was just under. Well, I saw the agent general in the Strand about it, like a double-fronted shop in those days. And he said, no one could have stopped you if you'd have been 21. So the war started then.
Did you go and see your mother to see why?
I saw her afterwards, yes. She said, you would never have landed. I'd have had you sent back because my parents had parted. You see. So
why did you want to go to Australia?
Well, I wanted to go. My father had gone over there, you see, and I was very, very fond of my father. But I wasn't going to the place that he was in. I was going to Brisbane on the last emigrant ship, the Limerick it was called, I remember.
And was this in 1914?
Then the war started. Yeah, it was just about that time. And then the war started. Well, my sister had been a nurse at Uxbridge Hospital in London, and she'd left. She was staying at a girls' club in London, just off Euston Road, the Ainslie Gardens there. It was all foreign girls, secretaries and clerks and typists there. War started. Then the first thing that was asked for girls for munitions. The First War started 1914, August the 4th, because Queen Victoria wanted her favourite grandson, Prince Wilhelm or something, no, the German, to be on the British throne. And, of course, the ministers in England said no. They said her eldest son must be king. That was King Edward. And King Edward reigned until about 1912, I think it was. And he was called Edward the Peacemaker. Well, when he died, his son came to the throne, King George V, it was. Well, that was when the war actually started, because the Germans then, Kaiser Wilhelm and his son, Little Willy, we used to always call him Little Willy, and but they wanted the throne of England. That's what started the war. I can't tell you whether it was declared or what happened just then, but at any rate, our troops were in the trenches within 3 days in France at Mons, and my brother was one of them because he joined the army 6 months before. And he came home when he was wounded. He said there were six great Prussians to one of us. It was terrible, though, really. And the Germans were all prepared for war. They had steel helmets and big jack boots and everything that was needed. Well, the British soldiers didn't. They didn't have any steel helmets. They had puttees and boots, all in khaki then. And that war was terrible when you think of it.
Can you remember how you felt when you heard there was going to be a war?
Well, my brother came home on leave just before the war started, and he said there's going to be a war, a big war. He said it's not going to be a little war of a day or two, it's going to be a big war. So, I mean, when war was declared, that was it. You couldn't do anything. You see, we weren't prepared for war. And, of course, Britain stood alone then. I think the Belgians and the French helped them then. But we had to wait for all our colonials to come over from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, India, South Africa, Gurkhas and blacks as well. I've seen streams of them in London marching the streets. And I've seen them come from King's Cross Station and St Pancras Station, march along Southampton Road towards Waterloo. They used to wave to you and happy, but they didn't know what they were in for. And I used to wonder how many of them would come back. Well,
did your brother tell you what conditions were like?
Yes, he told us. He told us when he came home wounded. He came home wounded in 1915, and the badge of his cap saved his life because his cap was slit right in two at the top. And he had head wound and foot wounds. He was nursed at Netley Hospital near Southampton, and he had to go back when he was still lame, because every man up to 50 or 60 and all boys over 16 were called up. And those that were not fit for war service, army or navy, had to go into a government work somewhere else. They all had to work away from home. And, of course, you never had much money in those days. Nobody did, you see.
What did you decide to do?
So my sister and I, you see, they asked for war workers for munitions. So, well, all the girls had to leave that club and go back to their own countries, you see. There was a fight there between the Germans and the British, by the way. The girls were fighting, pulling each other's hair and all before they were sent back. We started on munitions at the Westinghouse Brake Company at King's Cross. My sister was put on a roughing machine and I was a finisher for the shell fuse caps. They were about 4 to 5 inches tall, oval shape, you know, and I was a finisher. And inspectors would come in any time from Woolwich Arsenal and inspect them, measure them and see if everything was all right. And you were very lucky if you could earn £3 a week. And that was piecework. Because before that war, the average man's pay was only £1 a week. Well, we were laid off at the end of the contracts, because the contracts came from Woolwich. And we girls were laid off, not the ordinary men, because they kept on with their own private work, you see. Sometimes we were laid off a few days, and sometimes it was 2 and 3 weeks, because we had to save every penny to keep ourselves with, you see, that time. And we were laid off for 3 weeks once, I remember, and we had to ask for our cards, because you couldn't get another job without your cards. Well, they gave us our cards. We found a job at Camden Town and an air parts firm. We were making flanges. They were round saucer-like things with a hole in the middle. And it was run by a German. 1915, that was. A man named Kroll, K-R-O-L-L. Well, we went to work about 3 weeks after we started. It all closed down. The police were outside. He was interned. So we had our cards. I don't know how we got them. We found work then at the Park Royal filling station. That was Neasden Way. And it turned out to be a TNT factory. TNT. And you all had to change when you went in. You had to strip and change into other clothes because you weren't allowed a little tiny bit of metal on you at all. Not like hook or eye or anything. And of course they had corsets in those days with wires in them, you see. And you had to finish up with an overall and put your head covering on. And they used to give us domes of glass on the table with holes for your hands to go through, and you filled up the gaines. Gaines were something like cartridges, but bigger. You filled them up with this black rock stuff. And everyone turned yellow there, yellow as a guinea. And as you washed, so that yellow came off, but it's always in your system. Well, my sister was ill. I looked after her, and then I was ill, and she looked after me. I had muscular rheumatism. Couldn't afford doctors, you know. So she got boiling water and with a handful of soda in it, and she used to put tea towels in, and she tore up a sheet and tore it into pieces and put it round every joint because I couldn't turn my head. I was like that for 11 weeks nearly.
Was this illness caused by the work?
No, it came on suddenly. I woke up about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was all right. When I had to get up about just before six, I couldn't move my head even. I couldn't move. All I could do was cry, because she'd been a nurse. She knew what to do. And, I went about with one leg stiff for ages. Finished up with like a great red patch in front of my leg, and as that went, so that went. It disappeared. The soda took it out.
But you never went to see a doctor?
Yes, we went through all that. Then...
Were people ill through working with the TNT?
No, it didn't make me ill. No, it didn't make me ill. So I went back to work for a week or two, but then the Land Army had joined, started. The Women's Land Army started.
Whilst you were working in munitions, what sort of hours did you work?
Oh, from 6 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. Standing all the time. We had a 10-minute break, go to the toilets. Never had canteens or anything in those days. And we had to stand and eat sandwiches at the machine. See, we never used to trouble about the dirt on our hands. So it was 2 weeks' days and 2 weeks' nights, the same hours. A shift in over half an hour between. And, of course, in the morning when we got up at... When we finished at 5:30, our club didn't open till 7. So we, my sister and I, and two other girls, we used to walk along and go round Covent Garden in the morning. And the porters used to give us peaches and all sorts of things. Because, you see, we had a brass badge, a three-corner brass badge, with the words "On War Service" on it, you see, and they knew that. Well, then we used to go back to the club. Well, we had to leave the club because of that. We had to find lodgings. Well, we found lodgings, and we could manage all right. We had to manage best we could in those days.
Why did you have to leave the club?
Hmm?
Why did you have to leave the club?
Well, because they never opened early in the morning. We were dead tired. About 3 o'clock in the morning, you get dead tired, and then you seem to come to life again. And, of course, we couldn't go in. We'd been standing all night, you know, from 6 till 5.30.
Well, did you have your meals in the club?
No. We did at first. But when we went on munitions, no, we had a meal when we got back in the evening, you see, that's all. They never did much for you, really, but still. It was a club and it was a roof over your head.
In the munitions factory where you worked, was there any first aid?
Nothing. Nothing whatever. Nothing.
Were there ever any accidents?
Well, I don't remember any there. But I do at the filling station. I saw a shed go up. Because you weren't allowed to use a handkerchief. If you had a sign of a cold to go in that filling factory, you weren't allowed in. Because if you waved your handkerchief, the slightest wave would cause an explosion. So, but you see, it was terrible then to see the women lined up. Some were carrying babies and some had toddlers. They were queued up for a shop to get bread and other things. By the time they got there, it was all sold out. And because they never had rations straight off from the start of the war, not till sometime in 1915. And then they were only small rations, but still you had your fair share.
How did you manage for your shopping, you and your sister?
Oh, we managed. I think we got 2 ounces of tea to last a month and 2 ounces of bacon a week and all that. Everything was cut right off to the actual weight, not a half an ounce over. I've told them in shops about it several times since. I said, you ought to have been in the wartime. So we went in that filling factory and then the Land Army started. Because first of all, they only wanted army girls in the army. And when I applied for that, they only wanted secretaries and clerks and typists, that's all.
Well, When did you apply to go in the army?
Well, that was that started just before the Women's Land Army. I think they started in the Navy as well, but I couldn't tell you for sure. Of course, there was no aeroplanes much in those days. There were no girls for plane work because that war was a Zeppelin war. It's all Zeppelin, German Zeppelins. And we had a few planes, if I remember right, called the Royal Flying Corps. But everything's changed since then.